and God is calling him back. And if it takes God, if it takes an earthquake, then I believe this is what God is doing, calling his people back. And we feel that the church has been very much a part of that through some of the sustainable income-generating projects. We saw that. We saw the goats, the bees, we saw the pigs, the chicken, and some of the things which I think FPBC family has been a part of. So thank you so much, and they want us to convey thanks to all of you. Father, we thank you that we are your family. And as your children, we carry your DNA. A DNA of being a blessing to people around us. Just as you covenant with Abraham, he says, I call you and you will be a blessing to the nations. So Father, we give thanks to you. That Lord, that our church family has been a part of blessing the world. And Lord, today as we speak your word, Lord, I pray you anoint me with your words, with your power, with your anointing, and to share that which is from your heart, and that the people's heart will be open to receive your word. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just dream of Nepal throughout the night. So I'm still there, right? So in case I'm too far away, please call me back, right? Now, as I was just preparing, I just felt that the title for today's message will be called The Book of the World. The Book of the World. Before the word was given, God has already spoken. Before even the first verse in the Bible was written, God has already spoken. And it is stated in Romans chapter 1 verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So before the word of God, the book of the word, there was the book of the world. And it is in seeing the world and the awesomeness of it that it is undeniable that for there to be a creation, there must be a creator. And this creator must be big enough and powerful enough that he can sustain all things and hold it in harmony. Just as a building have a designer, so our creation that is beautifully run must have a very intelligent, a very loving, a very powerful creator. So as you look around the world and you see things happening, it points out to the fact that there is a creator. And the first verse in the Bible say, in the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. God is a God of science. He created all things and he brings them in harmony. And that's why when God stepped into the scene, he immediately introduces himself. Without doubt, he says, in the beginning, I created. I started the beginning. I created space. I created matter. And that is our God. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Looking around, there is no mistaking that there must be an intelligent creator who created all things. That's why the Bible, again in Psalms 51, sorry. I'm drying up. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They have more faith in nothing becoming something with a big bang. And they call it science. If you go far, 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 far enough, then we will know who the Creator is. But for us who believe, it is as simple as the Bible says. In the beginning, I, God, created the heavens and the earth. So creation, the book of the word, display the glory, the power of God. So today I want to share with you 4 points. Sorry, these are some of the things that shouldn't have been there. Because I woke up, I was supposed to... Okay. Right. The book of the world talks or proves there is a creator. It talks about the glory of who God is. It talks about the wonders of who He is. And it talks about the purpose in which He created us. So the book of the world actually proves the book of the word. So for us who knows the Bible, when you look at creation, then we don't have to worship the creation, because we know behind the creation is the Creator. And He wants us to know Him. So as we look into the world creation talking about the Creator, look at this. It says, creation itself is the first wonder of the world. It begs us to take notice of God's power, His intelligence, His goodness, and His love. Creation is in harmony. It's not haphazard. It runs beautifully, clock time. The sun rises in the morning. It sets at the night time. And every day, these things shouts out to us and said, there is this mystery of who I am that I want to display to you my knowledge. So it says, human beings, being the pinnacle of God's creation, made in His own image and likeness, each one of us is aware that we are not responsible for our own existence. This existence is a sign of God's love for each one of us. We had the baby dedication today, right? Take this baby away, joy away from Mally. And there's no way joy will know who Mally is. Unless Mally, day in, day out, tells the child, I'm your mommy, I'm your mommy. You know, God cries out to us and says, you live in my creation, I'm your father, I'm your Abba Father. And all that I have for you, I have written in the book of the law for your good, for your well-being. So creation speaks of the Creator. And so for that, for us to know who the Creator is in that, we go back to the Bible. So creation points us back to the Bible, who tells us who God is and His plans and His purpose from beginning to end. In day 4 in the Bible, it says, God said, let the sun govern the day, the moon governs the night, let there be stars in the sky. You know, when we were in Kathmandu, and we went up to the hill area, and you look up into the night sky, you know, it is clear. When we look at the skies, we marvel at who the Creator is, the power that He had. Our sun is the nearest star. You can put 1.3 million Earth into the sun. That's how big it is. 93 million miles away. And the sun is only the one of the solar system in the galaxy Milky Way. There are tens of millions of galaxies, of solar system in the Milky Way. And there are tens of millions or hundreds of millions of Milky Way in the universe. This is how big and magnificent our Creator is. It says the sun governs the day. You know, we take for granted. But it is the power of the suns that cause life, sustain life on earth. And it's only 1 billionth of the power of the sun generates the whole earth and holds it in place in harmony with all of creation. That's who our God is. That's what creation talks about who He is. And it says the stars. Let there be stars in the skies. So we are talking about trillions of stars. And yet the Bible says in Psalms 147, I think it's verse 4 or 5, it says He made the stars in the skies and He named them one by one. Each one of the stars, He gives them a name. That's why God said to Abraham, look into the skies, if you can number the stars, that's your descendants. We cannot fathom how big our God is, that He even cares for us. That's how wonderful our God is, how powerful He is. So for us who believe, we don't need to have lofty ideas of being scientists. We don't have to. We just have to believe by faith, that there is a Creator. Personal enough to love me and know me, my name. And just as Psalms 139 says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And today we saw that. Before Joy was formed in the mother's womb, I knew her. And each day of her life, I've ordained for her. And that's how loving our Father is. The sun, the stars, and the power that there is. When there is a thunderstorm, right? Let it be that we come in holy fear of God, because God said that He uses all these natural things to bring attention to Himself. I know it might sound very awkward and cruel to talk about the tsunamis being God calling attention because so many people died. But that's what the Bible said. The flood was God's way of doing things. He cleansed the earth of all the unrighteousness, leaving 8 people. You think of Sodom and Gomorrah. You think of Nineveh. And God said that I unleashed the power. Because I made you and you decided to move away. So if there is judgment on our life, know that it is because we have chosen unrighteousness. We have chosen unrighteousness. I know that when we were on top of the mountain, I sent a message to one of our cell members. I said, when Trump triumphs, we were on top of the mountain. And of course, the word that came back is between the devil and the deep blue sea. But think of triumph as Saul. Saul had a life that was wicked. And yet God elevated him. And he became the voice. He became the trumpet. He bring justice. He bring knowledge of who God is. So pray for Trump. Pray for Trump. June 24, Charisma Edition said that when James Dobson was interviewed, he said, I knew he accepted the Lord because I knew the person who led him to Christ. It was only this year. And God could use a man like Trump. May we pray that we are not looking to Trump, but God's hand in his life, it will cause America to change. So that we don't have a lying woman president who can lie under oath. And yet the world elevated her. Media elevated her. And she could lie under oath. And it is okay. But God said, I'm a God of justice. I'm a God of justice. So the power of God. Next, the glory of God. Creations glorify God. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of His hand. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. You know, we human has great capacity of doing creative things. If we will only allow God to speak to us and to give us the knowledge. A lot of things that are hidden, that are mystery. If you will only hang on to what God said to you and have faith in it, then you find that the glory of God will be displayed. Right? It says there's no speech, there's no words, no sound is heard from them. So you find that the heavens don't speak to you with words that you understand. But day after day, they are speaking to you. Night after night, they are. When we went to this place, you know, the flowers that blooms, God is speaking to us of the time where the insects will come out, collect the honey, pollinate everything, and this is this thing. And the insects know it. Insects know the time. So just to tell Pastor Elvin, we are a bit late already because the bees have already, they were looking for a honey place, but we are very late, okay, because the flowers have started some a month back or so. So we are a little bit, so we collect only less honey. But if we have started earlier, then you find that, we have then followed what God has said. I have time for everything. I have a season set for everything. And when you follow it, you will be fully blessed. Boy, I'm drying up so badly. It says, in heaven, God's speech, a tent for the sun. Right? And that it's like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. He rides from one, he makes a circuit to the other. Can you imagine if God, if the sun decided, I will not rise up today. The sun decided that today I'm not going to work. Everything would be blown to pieces. When God made the universe, this intelligent creator makes everything work in precision. The only one who disobey God is the human beings. Right? All the animals will go according to it. Whether they live or die, they fight for food. That was God's way. They never challenge God. But we humans think that we are better than that. Okay? So the sun speaks of the glory of God. Whenever you see the sunlight, thank God that the sun rises. Thank God that the sun powers everything that is in the earth for us. The heavens declare the glory of God. This is the Chinese history and the Chinese poet. The Chinese, like the people of the Egyptian, they have astronomers who gaze at the stars. And these astronomers were like scientists of today. They look at the stars and it tells the time. But of course, the study of astronomers have turned to astrology for some cases because they think the stars determine our direction of life. But the stars are God's creation that speaks of God's glory. So in this case, the Chinese poet said, in the second month of the second year of Xiangping, the comet was out of Altair for more than 70 days. It is said that the comets appear to signify the old being replaced by the new. Altair, the sun, the moon, and the five stars are in movement to signify the beginning of a new epoch, the beginning of a new year, a new month, and a new day. The Magi from the east looked into the sky and said, the Savior is born. They took a journey from where they are to Jerusalem. And it's not a one-night thing. You know, you travel on the camel. We travel 120 kilometers. It took us 7 hours. So at that day, when they travel on camels and on foot, it probably took 70 days. We do not know. But God spoke to the Chinese people about a Savior being born in China. And at that time, obviously, there was no Bible. Even if they have, it's the Old Testament, the Torah, or the Old Testament, there was no Bible. And yet, the star spoke to the Chinese people and says, a Savior is born. The birth of Jesus was proclaimed by the stars. And only today, you know, in this recent time, go to the internet and write down the stars of Bethlehem. And then they begin to chat back and say, yes, this was the time that the stars actually stayed still for a long time at night because they were revolving in this line where you can see the stars for a long period of time. So the stars declare the glory of God. So when we look at it, the Chinese people, God has planted a seed in them and says, a Savior has been born. The question now is, who is going to bring the Savior to them? The stars proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw him. We saw his stars when it rose and have come to worship him. The Magi, we do not know who they are, but it could be descendants of Daniel. Daniel was a man who knows how to dig into the resources of God and know what is going to happen in future. He could interpret dreams. He knew the time when the Jewish people will have to go back. And he knew that he has to serve under the three kingdoms, Babylon, Persia, and the Medes. Because Daniel was linked to the heart of the Creator, God allowed him to know things that no one else knew. So the Magi could be descendants of Daniel from Babylon, from Iraq. And they saw the stars, and they knew it was the birth of the Savior. And they came to worship, bearing gifts to the Savior of the world. The other occasion when the... Okay, never mind, you can't see. Can you move it slightly? You can't, right? Okay, this is again in China. Sorry, now go back to the previous slide. Never mind. I'll read it for you. I have the text here. This is about the crucifixion of Jesus. Crucifixion of Jesus. It says, in the days of Guihai, the last day of the month, there was a solar eclipse. The emperor avoided the throne room, suspended all military activities, and did not handle official business for 5 days. My poor character has caused this calamity, that the sun and the moon was veiled. I am fearful and trembling. What can I say? Anyone who presents a memorial is not allowed to mention the word holy. This is in AD 31, according to the imperial record. Summer, fourth month of the year of the day of Renhu, the imperial edicts read, Yin and Yang have mistakenly switched. The sun and the moon were eclipsed. The sin of all these people are on one man. The sin of all the people are on one man. Pardon is proclaimed to all under heaven. Eclipse of the day of Guihai, man from heaven. The stars, the planets, reveal the day that the Son of God will be at the cross. The Bible tells us in Luke 23, that when Jesus was on the cross from the 6th hour to the 9th hour, there was darkness. There was darkness. The heavens declare the glory of God. The day where the Son of God was at the cross, heaven spoke, and darkness befall all the earth, or befall Jerusalem. The heavens declare the glory of God. God is speaking to us, not only through the word. For us who know Christ, we read the word. For those who have not, they read the word of the world, the book of the world. So when we went, and when you go to any unreached people group, when you talk to them, somehow along the line, in their history, in their poets, there is something that talks about the Creator God. So the creation speaks of who God is. Okay, this is the wonders. Psalms 8 said, O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in place, what is mankind that you care for him? When we were up in the mountains, we were talking, not in the mountains. When we were in Peace Home, we were talking to Pastor Kiao Sang. And Pastor Kiao Sang has gone, his testimony is very long, but I shall keep it short. The Lord spoke to him to go and bring the children from the mountain areas. And they are all Buddhists, Tibetan Buddhists. And he had gone to them and said, give me your children. I'll take them to Kathmandu and I will give them an education. I will feed them, I'll take care of them. But this one thing that I will do is that I will teach them the way in which I live. Right? I am a Christian. The way I live as a Christian. But where we will not force the children to accept Jesus, but when the children comes of age and when I return them to your home, you allow them to choose their own faith. And Kiao Sam said this to us. Every year the children will go home during the school break. And they will tell the parents, we will not worship the way you worship. Some of them went to the extent of telling their parents, when we are back home, can you take down your idols and your flags? When we go off, you can put it back. From the mouths of infants and babes, God ordained praise because of the enemies. And two villages in Tum, the children had gone home and they have taken a videotape to show the dance and the celebration of Christine. And two whole villages turned to Christ with no preaching, but with the changed life of the children. From the mouths of infants and babes, God ordained praise because of the enemies. The wonders of God, the wonders of children that God has given to us. And when we were in the Peace Home, the Lord spoke to me about Daniel. I said, you are like Daniels, that God has gone to your country, and then God has taken you to the university called Peace Home. And there God will give you instruction of who he is. And you are going to go back as statesmen, as ministers to your land. The wonders of God. The wonders of God. Right? When we are up in the mountain, Pastor Chitra, we were at the beehives and Pastor Chitra will just walk right into it. And then he will open up the beehives. And then he will take it out. And I said, doesn't bees sting you? He said, no, they don't. But if you touch it, they will. It is because, he said, the bees recognize who I am by my touch. And the wonders of God's creation. The bees could know that he is the master. And he took it and he took one of the plate that was almost full. And all the bees were there and he was just shaking it, you know. And all the bees went down. And that was the honey we feasted on that day. He said, I said, how is it? Is it your smell? Is it your voice? He says, no. They know me by my touch. Just as John 10 says, the sheep hears his voice and follow him. The insects, the arthropods, they know who the master is. the master who handles them carefully. And he says the reason is because when you handle them, you might hurt them, and then all of them will go crazy. But he says, when I handle them, I know how to handle them. You know, God knows how to handle each one of us in our idiosyncrasy. His mercy is upon us. He is a God of wonders. He's a God of wonders. You know, when we go out and look at what God has done, we feel so humble. And it was a good time because so many times I feel my eyes well up with warm and tears because of who God is. And it's even more precious as we prayed with the people there. And then you see men of them and tears coming out, they're wiping their eyes because of who God is and how much He loves us. He loves us so much. I was told to preach simple and short. Pastor Jeremy told me, keep it simple and short. It says, when I consider all this, what is man that you are mindful of me? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you crown him with glory and honor. You make him the ruler of the works of your hand, and you place everything under his feet. All flocks and herds, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and all those creatures that swim in his path. God crowns creation with the humans that he made. We were the glorious crown of his creation. We carried his DNA, just as in Genesis chapter 1, it says that in the image of God, he made us. Male and female, he made. In the image of God, we are made in his image, in his likeness. And he placed eternity in the hearts of men. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, he placed eternity in the hearts of men. Man is the only creature who can appreciate God. We can come and worship God. And we are the crown in which He wants to gather us. We are made for Him. We are made for His pleasure. We are made to rule and reign. We are made to have dominion. And like I said, when I watch Pastor Chitra handle the beast, I wish I had that dominion over my children. Everything that I wish they would do, right? But my children are humans, they are not animals, so I can't force them. God gave them free will. So, well, my wish is just a lofty thought, right? But yes, we are the crown of his creation. We are the pinnacle of what he has made, and he loves us. He loves us so much. He sent his son to die for us. I'd like to conclude now instead of going on. Right? Since we know that he is so awesome and he created us, what ought to be our response to him? What ought to be our response to him? In Psalms 19, after he talks about the glory of heaven, he has given us, he says, the law of God is perfect, reviving our soul. Because we are humans and we understand. He says, he gives us his law. The law of God is perfect, reviving our soul. The statutes of God are trustworthy, making wise the simple. If you can find that verses, Abigail, is it Abigail? Psalms chapter 19, I think it's verse 7 onwards. If you can have it, it says, the statutes of the Lord is trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precept of God is right, The precepts of God are right, bringing joy to our heart. The commands of God are sure. No, it's radiant, giving light to our eyes. God made humans and He gave us commands to follow them. Yes, I think it's verse 7 onwards. Then it says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decree of the Lord are firm and all of them righteous. Through them, we are warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Okay, further down, right? More precious. Yes, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. Then may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my God and my Redeemer. We are made for His glory. We are the pinnacle of His creation, that we might worship Him. But it is through keeping the law. That's why knowing the law of God is everything for a Christian believers. We cannot live without the Word of God. We cannot do His things without knowing His Word. It is His law that will revive us. It is keeping His precept, His command, His ordinance, that we have such a sense of life and well-being in us. And it's through meditating of His Word that we will be prosperous. Just Psalms, it says, Psalms 1. Right? We need. This is what God requires of us. He says, you see the creation? I made you. But I made you for this purpose. That through your life, you're going to be a blessing to others. We feel so privileged to be able to go to Nepal. And the Lord reminded me of this. On the 11th of November, we came back yesterday. I mean, day before yesterday. On the 11th of November was the day I entered into Burma too, a few years ago. And we see that God is calling nations and His people back to Him. We are going to see tremendous work, but we as a church, we should not miss out. God places us in this country for a reason. Right? He places us at this time, at this place, for a reason, as He says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Through Him, He made all nations. And it was Him who decided the time and the place in which we stay. So that we may turn to Him. When you have needs, it is good. When you have needs, you turn to God. And He's not far from us. Because He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him. And He wants to bless us. So church, we want to be blessed. But at the same time, God is saying, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing in your family. You'll be a blessing in your workplace. You'll be a blessing to the nations. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the book of the world that points to the book of the word. That points to Jesus. Father, we thank you that you love us so very much. That, Lord, you want us to have the fullness of life. Just as it says in John 10:10, that the enemies come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I come to give life, and life abundantly. Father, we live in the midst where the enemies are destroying everything around us. But Lord, we pray that we become your agent, where our life will be so abundant that it overflows and overflows, that God, that you will be sought after, that you will come into their presence and you will be the God. Father, I pray for those who are here who have not made a decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord, may the words that are spoken today cause them no sleep until they make a decision and come into your blessing. Father, we pray, God, that they will not just listen and go away thinking that there is a God, but they go away thinking, I want to have a relationship with this God. I want to know I have peace with Him, that I am forgiven. My sins have been forgiven, and that I am a vessel to do good things for Him. So, Lord, I pray for those who hear, and that if their life has not come to the knowledge of You, I pray, Lord, that Your love will draw them, Your forgiveness will be available for them, that they will be made right with You, and that they will be called sons and daughters of God. And I pray for those of us who feel that we have fallen short, that we have so much resources, and Lord, that we have not used them wisely. Lord, I pray that we will be like the shrewd manager that Jesus affirmed, the one who went and told those who are in debt to the masters to write down different things. Lord, I pray we will use our resources for the kingdom of God. We'll use our life for the kingdom of God. We will use the knowledge that they have given to us, the wisdom they have given to us, that, Father, we will use it for Your glory. So, Father, as a church, we come before You. We ask God in faith that we will do more than we can, that we will see Your divine guidance upon us, Your divine enabling, that we will see supernatural things happen in this church on a daily occurrence or on a weekly occurrence, Lord, that when we come to church, we will see miracles taking place. So, Father, we give thanks to You for the book of the world that talks about who You are. And we ask, Lord, that our ears will be open, that we will seek for Your words, we will seek Your knowledge, that God, that we will be able to be fully utilized as Your workmanship created for good works. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Seng Hock. We're going to end the service here. So I'd like to invite you for a time of fellowship over at the fellowship hall.